Thank you, Roger and Gloria. I appreciate that. It shows me that I have a long life of playing guitar ahead of me. I love that. I was able to play a little bit this morning, so I'm thankful for that. I find out tomorrow what the doctor says about the MRI, if it's cracked or what. He'll probably yell at me for playing guitar, but we'll see. Anyways, we've been spending the last 3 weeks talking about entitlement. And we haven't said a whole lot about entitlement because we've actually been dealing with the root cause of why we feel so entitled. Because it turns out you really can't do a whole lot about those feelings. But the root cause, if we address that, then we can get at the core of why we feel so entitled and deal with that. And so the first week we started talking about validation. That was back on Father's Day. We talked about validation. We talked about that validation is this idea of needing external support to say that I'm good, that I'm right, that I'm okay with God, that I'm okay with others, that I'm appreciated, that I'm respected, that I'm loved. All of these things that we need externally from other people so that we feel okay, so that we have certainty about our life, so that we can move forward in life. And many people feel this. If you're in sales, I know Paul's in sales and there's other guys here in sales. If you're in sales and you get five yeses from your five appointments in one day, you feel like you're top of the world. Like, whoa, I'm top of the world. I made five sales out of five appointments. Everybody said yes, you're doing awesome. They were all big sales. But even though you know statistically it's gonna take you one in 10 appointments, so like nine no's to get one yes, even though you know statistically that's the case, if the next day you get five no's out of all your five appointments, and the next day you get five no's, and you know you got like 45 no's coming because of the five yeses you got, you're still gonna feel like garbage. You're still gonna feel like garbage, and that's why people don't make it in sales. That's why I don't think I could make it because of that just the grilling and those who last, they learn how to deal with that mental game, you know, because you start changing, what am I doing wrong? You know, that day was so good. What did I do right that day? It's just statistics. But this external validation, when we don't get it, it can wreck us. In fact, this validation stuff can make or break you. Validation can make you or break you if it becomes your focus. If it's what you're constantly seeking after and looking for, it can make or break you. And we learn that where we focus our hearts is where we fill our hearts. We had the magnifying glass and Jim Clare came up and he shined the phone trying to get it in the glass and Pastor Joe's yelling at him and he's not doing it right. And it looked like a married couple, you know? It's like, why aren't you doing what I need you to? If you would take care of your stuff, then I would. And it's like, wow, that happens in my life everywhere. It happens in my marriage. It happens in my job. It happens like in my family. All these things about people not measuring up and aligning right so that I can grow, so that I can have the validation I need, so that I can have the stuff that I need, the fuel to move forward in my life and do the right thing. And we learned that it's never going to quite line up because that person is going to get angry and they're going to turn away from you. And it turns out they're their own person with their own needs, their own goals, their own God-given destiny. And they're not always going to be focusing on you. And you can't count on that. You can't. And it's futile to try to get that from other people or other circumstances. Where we focus our hearts is where we fill our hearts. And the only proper place to get our hearts filled from, as Pastor Joe showed last week with the magnifying glass, is through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We talked about inviting Jesus into our hearts to be our light, to be our Lord. And he showed that, you know, with the magnifying glass, he had it on, the lights appeared, trying to burn a piece of paper. It wasn't powerful enough, but when he goes outside, that sun, 15 seconds, you start seeing the paper turn black and the smoke coming up because the sun is powerful enough. It's a big enough energy source to actually fuel and make something happen and to ignite the fire on that paper. And it's the same in our lives. Not only does what we focus on fill us, but whatever we focus on, if we focus on the wrong thing, it's not going to have the power and the ability to fill us completely, or it's going to fill us with the wrong thing. It's going to fill us with darkness rather than light. It's going to be a false energy source. It's going to be like putting a dead battery in a flashlight and expecting it to shine. It's just not going to work. And you're going to feel like you're dragging. So that was great. It was a great series. That was awesome. You know, what's next? Why are we still talking about this? Well, we got a week to kill before we go on vacation. So No, that's not the case. There's actually one more thing I want to talk about to kind of wrap this up. And I got to tell you, this is going to be a little bit hard. It's going to be a little bit difficult to hear. But that's why we gave you donuts and coffee, to make you feel very relaxed, to make you feel very comfortable and welcome. And if you're not a Christian and you're here and you're visiting us this morning, welcome. We're glad you're here. This is you're why we built the place. We want you to be here. We want you to come back. And but the things I'm going to say are probably going to hit the Christians around you more than you, although I'm going to speak to you too. But I want to encourage you to listen in and see following Christ is for you this morning. So what's the problem? What's left? The problem is that it doesn't feel like it works. You know, with all due respect, Pastor Joe, and I've taught the same thing. We read the Bible, we pray, we fill our lives with God. But then I wake up the next morning feeling like the salesperson that got five no's sometimes. Sometimes I don't quite feel like God is there. Sometimes I don't feel like all of this stuff that I'm doing to have a relationship with God or pursuing God, it doesn't feel like it works. So what's going on? What's the problem? You don't feel okay. You don't feel validated. There are times when I do the right thing, when I know I'm doing the right thing, and I totally start freaking out because it feels like it's wrong or because I'm unsure. You ever been there? You ever been unsure? You know it's the right thing to do, but as you start to take the steps to go in that direction to do that thing, you just have this kind of unsure moment where it's like, maybe the whole world's going to crumble under my feet. I am not sure about this. I am totally panicked. I'm like freaking out, like spending money. My wife will say, hey, can we go out to eat? And I'll say, I don't think we should. We can't really afford it. You know, we got like 50 bucks in the bank account. We probably shouldn't spend 30 on Applebee's, you know, or something like that. But then, you know, it's like, well, if I say that, then we're going to have a fight when we get home, you know, and then maybe I'm unsure. Maybe I'm being selfish, you know, because I don't want to go out because I'm an introvert and I really just want to go home and go to sleep anyways, you know. So am I making the right call here? What about taking a job? You say, I need a job, here's a job opportunity, but if I take this job, maybe they're going to call about another job, and I could have that opportunity over there, and I don't know which one's right, but I know I should go to work, and so you start to feel unsure, about sharing your faith. You know you want to share your faith and tell others about Jesus and who he is, but you start the conversation, and you start freaking out. What if I say the prayer wrong, and they go to hell, because I didn't pray it right? Like, what? What if I read the verse wrong? Oh my gosh. You know, like all these fears and these worries start coming at you, or telling the truth. You know that there's this person in your life that needs to hear the truth. Everybody around them is just kind of enabling them and letting them go. And somebody needs to talk to them. Tell them about their BO problem, or tell them about their selfishness, or tell them about some issue in their life, and love them enough to like broach that subject. But it just feels like, well, it's going to hurt their feelings, and I don't know. I'm so unsure. You perform well. You do your job, and you feel great about it, and then someone comes in and says, well, why'd you do it that way? What were you thinking? That's the dumbest thing in the world. I don't know why you would do that. And so you start to second-guess yourself because someone says, I don't think so, or I don't like that. And it's hard. Maybe you're serving God, you're doing the things you think you're supposed to be doing, but you don't have money. Money's tight, you barely can pay the bills, if that. And you're like, well, what gives? Or you're saving yourself for a relationship that honors God in dating, and you're like, no one's coming along. I'm trying to do the right thing here. I'm trying to be a person of character and wait for a person of character who will honor God, but all I'm finding is scrubs. You know, like all I'm getting, I am not getting any kind of someone that I could date, and I feel like maybe I'm going to end up single for life and alone. And we start to doubt, what if I picked wrong? What if I'm doing wrong? In fact, psychologists agree that our society is infected with chronic anxiety. Chronic anxiety. And psychologists have identified chronic anxiety to be the cause or the correlation of all kinds of stuff. For instance, chronic anxiety could cause weight gain, headaches, high blood pressure, blood sugar imbalance, thyroid dysfunction, lower back pain, stomach aches, diarrhea, heartburn, constipation, irritable bowel syndrome. Some of them think that's the cause of that. Sleep disorders, like no sleep, or you can't fall asleep, or you can't stay asleep when you do fall asleep. You wake up with a headache in the morning. You got 9 hours of sleep, and you wake up like, you know, it's just, you don't wake up rested. You don't feel like it. And chronic anxiety could lead to immune system disorders, like immune system suppression. So you're often fighting colds and flus and infections and just mysterious ailments. Like you don't, there's no explanation. You go to the doctor, hey, this is wrong. And he's like, I don't know. Like, it's just weird stuff. How that happens, mysterious ailments where you get aches and pains and sickness. Skin disorders are also correlated with anxiety as well. Anxiety is a big deal. In fact, anxiety, the bottom line is that doctors say and scientists both agree that anxiety will wreck you. Anxiety will wreck you. If you constantly fear, if you constantly worry about everything around you, it will absolutely wreck you. And if you don't get a handle on it, it's gonna mess you up. And as if that wasn't bad enough, all right? Anxiety is wildly contagious. You guys worried yet? Yeah? You little bothered? Anxiety is wildly contagious. How does this work? When I discovered this, I started watching it in my home and in my family, and it's hilarious. The media makes tons of money on marketing to our fears. For instance, in my home, this is how it works with my kids. My kids will start freaking out. They'll start throwing stuff at each other and fighting. Okay? No, I know your kids don't do that, but you know, my kids are heathens and your kids are probably good Christian and they never yell at each other or have any fights. But in my home, it doesn't work that way. So my kids will start yelling and fighting with each other and I'll just keep calm. I'm going to stay calm. I'm not going to get out of control. Serenity now, you know, kind of thing. I'm going to keep cool, keep my calm because they're going to work it out. They have to learn how to work it out. They got to learn how to share. They got to learn how to work it out. Next thing you know, my wife goes storming into their room. What's going on? She starts yelling at him. What are you two doing? I told you not to hit your brother. I told you not to play with that. And she starts yelling at him, right? And so I was good, but she caught their anxiety. Now I'm freaking out because my wife is freaking out. What if we're bad parents? We shouldn't yell at our kids. I don't know if we're... So then I go into bed. Hey, maybe you should calm down a little bit, you know? And now I'm freaking out. And it's, so maybe I didn't catch the anxiety from my kids, but maybe you don't catch it from your kids, but you catch it from your spouse, right? You can't, when someone else... You're like calm. You're dealing with the situation fine. And then someone else starts freaking out around you. And the next thing you know, your anxiety level starts to rise. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I could deal that. Yeah, if you don't believe me, how many of you have kind of over-panickers in your family? Like nothing happens. It's like nothing happens. I gotta say this. My mother-in-law's not here, but she does this all the time, okay? All the time. The other night, we're at their house. It was like 4th of July or something, or maybe it was the night before that. I eat there all the time. The food's free. So I'm at there, we're at the dinner table, we're sitting down, Pastor Joe had cooked steaks, it's a good night, right? And then we're sitting there and we pray for the food, you know, and then all of a sudden Sue goes, and we're all like, what do you know what happened? Did you cut your hand off? Did you burn yourself? Is it the end of the world? She's like, I forgot to put the potatoes on the table. And I'm like, my goodness, you could have killed us, right? And we're all freaking out. Now, my blood pressure's high. Pastor Joe's like, you know. Anxiety is contagious. It is. People around you start freaking out, and you start freaking out with them, and it's just this contagious thing that we just can't keep a hold on it. And the truth is, we can live our lives through a fear filter, like the media does.
Tonight at 6, what could be killing you in your basement,
you know, or does Al Qaeda live next door? What's wrong with Kroger's, you know, or Giant Eagle? It's like, oh, I gotta watch, you know. And Dr. Oz, he's always telling you about what gives you cancer, you know, like something you eat every day, and like, so it's like, oh, I gotta watch. You can live your life through this fear filter, and let it control you and consume you, and constantly ask, how are my actions going to be received? If I do the right thing, you know, well, what will people think? How will my parents react? How will my mom and dad react? How will my spouse react? How will my wife, my brother? what's my boyfriend going to say if I tell him, you know, that I've been thinking that or believe this? What's my boss going to say if I say no to overtime because I got to spend time with my kids and I want to be that kind of person? What? You start to panic, and if you let fear control you, you live your life through this fear filter, it's going to wreck you. If you chase validation and you work for it, I did this for you, you owe me, it's going to cause entitlement in your life. And that entitlement that you carry is going to just heap more and more anxiety, because the more entitled you feel, the less you're going to get it. It's never going to measure up. You're always going to be looking for more. In fact, 2,000 years ago, Jesus wrote some words to us, and I want to turn to that in Matthew chapter 6, which has been our text for the whole series. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read the first part of verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm actually reading this first part out of an ESV because it explains it very clearly. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." We're just going to stop there for a second. Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." Now, he said all kinds of other things. He talked about, like, this is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And he just got done telling us that where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. He just got done telling us that where we focus our passion is going to fill us up. He just got done telling us that we can only pick one thing in the entire universe to focus on. You can't have two masters. You can either focus on God or you can focus on material stuff, money, mammon. You can only pick one thing to focus on. And so he says, therefore, because of all of these messages about validation, entitlement, about passion, about pursuit, because of all this stuff, I got something I got to tell you. And he says this, he says, do not be anxious about your life. Now, it seems like Jesus just took a hard right turn, because we were talking about treasure, we were talking about light, and do not be anxious about your life, really? Like, that's your transition here? Don't panic? That's the big thing you got to tell me? What does this mean? You know, and I love this. I love when science discovers something God has known all along or shown us all along. I love to read scientific books and things that study how humans grow. And it's amazing when they do all these human behavioral studies. They discover things, and like, you read this huge book and they'll be like, so, you know, anxiety is bad and can cause all kinds of disease and bad for you. And then I'm like, that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Like, this little phrase, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about your life. Do not be anxious about your life. In this little phrase, Jesus is giving us some words to live by that could determine your personal health. Physical health, spiritual health, and emotional health. Do not be anxious about your life. Don't panic. And the question is, why does he give this advice? Obviously, it's healthy for us. But why here? Why now? Why in this place? Why is he saying, why is it so important that in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't panic. Don't panic. It's because he knew that by nature, we as humans, when we experience the process of life as God designed it, are going to freak out. We are going to panic. We are going to just totally panic. We're going to lose it. He knew that we were going to lose it. He knew that the human growth process from Romans chapter 5, let me turn over there, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. I spoke on this a few months ago, but it keeps coming up because it's so true. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says this. It says, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. If you missed that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's our sermon on grieving. It's on our website, but it says that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This is a human growth process. You're going to go through hard things, and it's going to produce endurance. And that endurance is going to produce character in your life. And as you grow in endurance and character, it's going to produce hope. It's going to produce hope. People will not support you. People will not support your right decisions more often than not. That's just the truth. Because as we grow as people and we start to move in the right direction, everybody kind of wants to stay here, right? There's a story in the New Testament where Jesus goes on the mountain. It's called the Mount of Transfiguration. They call it this thing. And Jesus goes up there with a few of his disciples, and like Moses shows up, okay? And this prophet from the Old Testament, this huge, like, big guy shows up. Elijah shows up, and they're like, whoa. And the disciples are like freaking out, because for the disciples, for Moses to show up, because they're Jewish men, for Moses to show up and this prophet from the Old Testament to show up, it's like getting to meet your favorite movie star, okay? It's like hanging out and having coffee with your favorite movie star, sports figure. It's like, you know, having lunch with the Steelers or something for some of you guys. I don't know. But it's like awesome. And the disciples are like, let's just stay here forever. Let's just stay on this mountain forever and never go home, because this is awesome. And that's what we do in life. Many of us, we get in a groove. We get to where I feel like I have some semblance of control, maybe through manipulation, maybe through just how I live. Maybe I kind of know the people around me. And it's not perfect, but it's familiar. And so I'm going to stay here. And as soon as you start to move away from that, it's like elastic bands that try to pull you back. And as you move away, people are going to start freaking out around you because you're growing, because you're moving, because you're changing. I don't like that. It's different. Why don't you come back to where we were? It's going to happen. People will not support your right decisions oftentimes, because when we grow, it freaks people out. It scares them. How many of you get lost when you go places? Like total, like chronic get lost people. I get lost every time I go somewhere, okay? Like every time I go to a new place, I get lost. And someone will draw me a map, like on the napkin. You get the napkin maps, okay? Now we have Google Maps and GPS. It's not as bad. But, you know, they draw the map on the napkin. They'd be like, now what you gonna do is you're gonna go down this road about 3 blocks, and you're gonna turn left where the stops. Oh, wait. They took that stoplight out. But where you're gonna turn left is where that stoplight used to be, you know? All right, now when you hang that left, you're going to keep on going down, and you're going to go, and then you're going to make another right. Now, it's going to sneak up on you, okay? But there's a guy that sits on his porch, and he's got a dog. And, you know, he always waves at people, and if he's not out there, you need to turn anyways, okay? But then you turn, and then he's like, now you're going to go 26 miles. And at first I was like, okay, I got the first turn. So now 26 miles, okay, that's a drive. So we're driving 26 miles. Then you're going to see a greenhouse on the left, and you want to make a right. Okay, greenhouse on the left, make a right. And they give the whole napkin, and then there's a couple more turns in there. And sure enough, I'm going to get on that road where it's 26 miles, and I'm going to be 11 miles in and just start sweating. Did I pass the greenhouse? I got the odometer set. I'm like, I don't know. Did I pass it already? Did I go far enough? Am I driving? And I start speeding up. It's like, I needed to get there. I need to see the greenhouse to be okay, because I don't know where I'm at. I've never been on this road. I'm in the boonies. I'm going who knows where. I'm hearing banjo music. Like, I'm starting to sweat, you know. I look at my phone. There's no cell service. I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? I always get lost. And at that moment, I have a choice. I can either turn around and go home and just be like, well, I never found it. Sorry. Sorry I couldn't come over. I never found it. Or I could press on. And I could just keep driving. And keep driving until I see the greenhouse. And the thing is, I get this fear that I'm lost, that I've made the wrong choice. And you guys probably have these fears too. Maybe it's not just with driving, it's in other things. You get a plan, you've been given clear direction from God, you start to step in that direction, and it's just there's something inside of you. Even though you've only gone 11 miles on a 26-mile stretch, you're like, what if I'm wrong? What if I did this wrong? And I want to switch gears here. I want to ask you guys a question, and this is probably going to throw you off, so I want you to hang on, okay? Hang on tight, because we're going to make a big turn, and some of you guys are going to get confused, and it's okay. But I want you to know this. I'm going to ask a question. And if you're a Christian this morning, this is going to be hard. But if you're not a Christian, go ahead and take a look around, because this is your chance to see all the Christians squirming. Okay? They're always asking you questions, making you squirm. This is your chance to see them squirm. Okay? And here's my big question. What if what Jesus did really changed you? What if what Jesus did actually changed you? You say, what do you mean, Ron? Of course I believe that. Really? Because from my experience in my life and in the lives of other people I hear around me as I get to help people work through stuff, we have all kinds of excuses. For instance, I can't grow. I can't take that step that God's leading me to because of my past. I got all this stuff in my past that I need to deal with. Well, what if God said, you know what? I'm going to forgive all that and give you a clean slate. Just wipe that clear. Give you forgiveness. Okay. Well, the problem is I don't know a lot about God in the Bible. I don't have a lot of knowledge, and I need more technique. I need more understanding, more nuance in the scripture, and then maybe I can take that step to do what God's telling me to do. I just don't have all the information yet. And God says, well, what if I gave you my Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and put that inside of you to, as the book of John says, guide you in all truth, to reveal to you what's right and what's wrong, what's correct, what's true, so that when you read the scripture, it will start to be opened up to you and you will understand. What if I gave that to you? Well, that would be pretty cool, God. Well, yes, he gave that to you too. You say, well, but Pastor Ron, I'm a slow learner. You know, I don't memorize scripture well. You know, it takes me a long time to figure things out. God says, okay, I'll give you eternity. You have a whole life. Get started. Like, whoa, that's kind of hard. What about this? What if God is really in control of the universe around you? What if he knows what's going to happen? What if he's kind of given it his rubber stamp of, I'm going to allow that to happen? What if he actually knows what's going to happen in your life? And it's not about whether God loves you or not, because God is love, and so that never changes. What if when God does things, it's because he's a different person than you, and he's got his own agenda in the universe, and it really is not a commentary on how God feels about you when things happen in the world around you? It's not a commentary on how God feels about you, or what God thinks of you, or whether you're on the right track or not. It's not like some omen, like you got to watch for these signs and stuff. What if God's just doing what God wants to do because he's God, and he's got the universe under control, and he's doing his thing? What if? What if he's got your back? Like the Bible says he does. What if you're on the right road? You're already on the right road, heading in the right direction, and you're just freaked out because you haven't seen the greenhouse yet. What if you are doing the right things in your spiritual walk? You just don't feel the validation that you're still pursuing. Oh. It's hard. You see all the Christians squirming? We're all like, oh man, I hate this. I've been wrestling with this for over a month. It's been wrecking me. Because God's saying, this is the truth. And if you don't take anything else away from this message this morning, take this one sentence away. Take this with you. Realize this. Let this haunt you, because it will. Because it's hard. Because, you know, the truth is, when you come here, we want you to feel comfortable. We want you to not be offended by the things we say and the things we do. And we even provide coffee and stuff. But the truth is, some of the stuff that God says is offensive, and we have to tell the truth. And here's the truth about humanity and life. That growing people always feel a little bit lost and a little bit uncertain. Growing people always feel a little bit lost and a little uncertain. Sometimes a lot lost, sometimes a lot uncertain. And the problem is you're going into brand new territory. You're not going to feel certain. You're not going to. God never promised you. He promised you to forgive you of your sins. He promised to give you the Holy Spirit of truth to tell you what to do. But he never promised, I'm going to give you clarity, absolute certainty and clarity. And I'm going to calm all that stuff down so you never have to worry about having faith. About taking a step even when it feels unsure. Growing people always feel a little bit lost and a little uncertain because you're going into unfamiliar territory. And if it doesn't feel a little bit lost and a little bit uncertain, if life feels like, you know what, I got my schedule, my routine, everything's lining up, everything's kind of in order, you're probably not growing. You're probably not growing. You're probably feeling entitled. You're probably upset that you're not getting the validation that you're pursuing. And you're probably really upset when people start changing stuff. But as a church, as a family, we want to be a place of growth. We want to be a place that grows, that changes, which means it's going to look different 6 months from now than it does now. Because we have a direction we want to go. We want to be a place where broken people find hope. And that's messy. Growth is always messy. Growing people always feel a little bit lost and a little bit uncertain. So I want to give you guys a couple tools, a couple questions that you can ask yourself when you're in the midst of uncertainty to help you out, okay? Number one, you need to understand, you can't change God. You can't change God, all right? You can't change what God's doing. Dear God, you know, I pray that you would do this thing. If he wants to do it and your prayer is in line with what he's doing, it'll happen. But you're not going to make God change his mind and do something that he never wanted to do in the first place. Okay? You can't change God. So if you're waiting on God to make something happen in your life so that you can do what he's already told you to do, it's not going to work. It's never going to happen. You're never going to grow. Number two, you can't change other people. You absolutely cannot change other people. Quit trying to get people to shine the light just right into your life. Husbands, quit waiting on your wife to change so that you can take the right step. Wives, quit waiting on your husband to change so that you can take the right step. Quit waiting on circumstances and people around you to make happen what you need, quote unquote, to feel certain enough to make the right choice and to make the right step. Because they're never going to change. They have their own struggle and fear and anxiety that they're dealing with to make the step that they need to take. And a lot of times that's in an opposite direction than you're going. And that's scary because now we're not as close as we used to be. When in reality, if you would both grow in the direction you're supposed to, especially in a marriage, and we don't want to give away our relationship series, you fall even that much more in love because, wow, that person's a person of character. They're a person of integrity. That's awesome. That's attractive. But here's one tool that you can always ask. You can always ask this question. Okay, I'm in this situation. I'm a little scared. I'm a little unsure. I'm a little lost. I can't change God. I have truth here. I can't change other people. What can I do? What can I do? Ask yourself that question. What can I do? God is sovereign. He's going to do his part. Okay? Whether you believe it or feel it or not, God's going to do his part. Other people are going to do whatever they want. You can't fix that. You waste your time trying to get them to do what you want, but it's not going to happen. What can I do? Forget about them. Forget about others and what they're going to do. What can I do? What can I do to be a person of integrity, to follow what God has told me to do through his Holy Spirit and through the truth of the word? What can I do? And just take a step. What can I do? And the second question you can ask yourself, number one, what can I do? Number two, why am I not doing it? Why am I not doing it? That question always reveals the angst in the root. And if it's, oh, the other people, no, scratch that one off, keep going. Well, it's circumstance, no, scratch that one off, keep going. Why am I not doing it? It's hard. It's difficult. It's painful. I don't know if I could do that. So the question is, do you turn around and go home? Is this the place where I stop growing? This is the third question. What can I do? Why am I not doing it? And is this the place, right here? I'm 32 years old, I'm 40 years old, I'm wherever I'm at, is this the place where I decide I stop growing? Come to terms with it. Okay, because we procrastinate by blaming everybody else, blaming God, blaming the situation, blaming the world, blaming the weather. Is this a place that I'm going to stop growing? Or am I going to grow up? Am I going to grow up? I want to close and I want to talk to you if you're not a Christian this morning. For some of you, your decision of growth that makes you feel a little bit lost, a little bit uncertain, was to come to church. You came to church this morning and you're like, wow, you know, this was a little heavy. I don't know if I was ready for that. But I want to challenge you. I want to say, maybe your step is to accept Jesus into your life. You know, you're feeling something. God's speaking to you through the Bible. You hear something this morning. God brought you here to this place. And your step, your next step is to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want that forgiveness stuff. I want to have the Holy Spirit, God's guide in my life to show me what to do, you know, so that I can at least know what the right choice is. So that I could start to wrestle with, am I going to grow or not? I want that in my life. If that's you this morning, then today's your day. This is your morning to accept Jesus Christ. You know, on some level, God's probably calling you. Is this the place where you stop growing, or are you going to make a decision for Christ? And if you're a Christian this morning, then maybe there's something God's pointed in your heart. Maybe it's a relationship that you're in with a friend. Boyfriend, girlfriend, but you need to have a conversation. The step of growth is to cut off that relationship. And it's hard. I don't want to go there. And you're afraid of the consequences. Maybe it's a conversation you need to have at home with your mom or your dad. You need to pick up the phone or you need to sit down and say, Mom, Dad, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you what's going on in my life because I need help with the situation. I've been hiding something. Or you teach me this, but I'm seeing this, and I'm struggling with it. I don't know. A step of growth where you start to differentiate yourself and take responsibility for who you're supposed to be in Christ and who God's calling you to be. Maybe it's a conversation you need to have at work with your boss, with a coworker who's out of line, but yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Maybe it's a spouse, and you need to sit down with your husband, with your wife. You need to call up your ex-wife or ex-husband. And you need to have a conversation that you've been waiting on that you're not having. Maybe it's yourself that you need to focus on this morning. You blame everybody, you blame everyone else and everything else for your lack of personal growth in your life. And for you, there's no more words. There's no more, I'm going to do this. This is my plan. This is what I'm thinking about. No more of that, just action. Just action. Just take this step to move towards where God is calling you and moving you. And quit waiting on all of the validation of the world to come in and everything to line up in place and grow. Because if we want to be people of character, we're going to have to take hard steps consistently over time. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. And people aren't going to like it. And it's going to be difficult. But it's so worth it. It is so worth it because I'm not going to stop growing right here. I'm not going to stop growing right here. And I want to invite you to take a step of growth too. So this morning, let's all stand together. If I could have... If you could bow your head and close your eyes, I'm not going to make you pray or say or do anything. We just want to give you and people around you some privacy. So you can think about what we said this morning. There was two different groups that I talked to, and there could probably be another group or another decision that's on your heart that I didn't even address. And I want to provide an opportunity this morning to come down to an altar and to pray, to take a step out, maybe your first step of a long journey that you need to move on. And I'm going to invite Steve to come up. And if you want to come forward, you say, this is my morning. This is the morning I'm going to accept Jesus in my heart. I'm going to be serious about this. I want to be a Christian. want to invite you to take a step out. That's hard. It's really difficult. It's scary. But I want to invite you to take that step. Come on down to this altar. Pray with someone. If this is your morning and you're a Christian and you say, man, I know there's something I got to do. I don't know. And you want to come and you want to spend a moment with God. Maybe you don't even want to say anything in your prayer. You just want to be with God in His presence and resolve in your own heart. Then now's your time. Just step on out. Just come on down. Don't wait. Don't delay. I'm going to pray in a second and close the service. Anybody? Okay, let's pray. Anybody else? Come on down. Don't be shy. Is this the place where I stop growing? Is this the place where I decide I'm going to turn around? Or do you want to come deal with it? Let me invite you this morning. God, I pray for those this morning who don't know you, who don't have you in their heart. I pray that you'd bring them back, that this morning if they're reaching out to you, Lord, that you would answer them, that they would hear you, that they would seek one of us out to talk to have a conversation, stick around, have coffee in the back, that they would know you, God. But I pray for the Christian this morning, those who do know you, they have a relationship with you, but they're just scared, God. They've started to take steps to follow you, to follow what Pastor Joe's been preaching and what we've been speaking and what we've been sharing and growing. And man, it just feels uncertain. It feels like they're a little bit lost out there. And this morning, I pray that you would give them an extra dosage of resolve, Lord, to keep on moving, to grow. And as they grow, it would build endurance and character, that they would learn that they can go the distance. They can continue to change. They could take a step and endure the pain and focus on knowing you and your Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, I pray that we would be focused as a body, as a family, on growth. We would take personal responsibility rather than feeling entitled to everyone else kind of lining up so we can grow, God, that we would take personal responsibility for our spiritual growth. And we would follow you, God. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.